Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1. If you have your Bible with me, just open it there. If not, I'm so kind, we've got the Bible on the screen. All right. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came upon the tomb, the sun having risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid, or they were frightened. And he said to them, "Do not be frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Hallelujah. Behold the place where they laid him. Behold the place where they laid him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. And here we are this morning in your presence. In your presence, Father, we know that there is something that comes. And Father, we ask you that you'd minister to each and every one of us this morning. We pray for revelation. We pray for understanding. We pray that our eyes will be opened, oh God. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for hope. We look to you for life this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Let's get into the word. Now, this morning, we have an opportunity to think about the moment when our Lord Jesus disappeared from the tomb. For a moment, we are reminded of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And it's important that we take a moment in our lives and really think about that moment. And think about that Sunday morning where these three ladies walked to the tomb. What a moment this was. And I want to say this morning, it was a turning point for the whole of humanity. I want you to understand that for 3 days, humanity was on the knife edge. Because people were wondering, was this guy rogue? Was this guy for real or not? Sometimes we don't realize the gravity and the far-reaching implications of the Sunday morning of the resurrection. It was a defining moment. It was so defining that history and time had to be reset. The reason why we say 2024, it is because we are talking about 2024 years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It was a significant moment in the life of humanity. Now, let me just draw your attention to these three ladies, because they are a picture of you and I. These three ladies rose early in the morning, Sunday morning, and in their hearts of heart, they were troubled. They were worried. They were confused. And they're saying the only thing that we can do is to enter his tomb and to apply some ointment to preserve his body. That is all their faith could bring them to. They had been told that I will rise again on the third day. But as far as they were and these disciples, it was the end. So they walked towards the tomb, not expecting to see an empty tomb, But they were expecting to see the dead body of Jesus in its fresh state and to apply ointment to try and to preserve it. The possibility of a resurrection was too detached from their reality. And this morning, I want you to realize that life has a way of throwing at us hopelessness. Just like these three ladies and the other disciples, they were full of hopelessness. There was despair and agony in their hearts. I don't know where you've been in your life. Maybe you are in a state of hopelessness, like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, where all they expected was a dead body. What are your expectations in your life right now as I preach? Is your life so hard-pressed that you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel? Is your life so difficult that you've lost all hope? Now, I really thank God, because God is different from you and I. When God makes a promise, He comes through. Hallelujah. When God says, I will do it, you can go to bed because He will do it. When the Lord was walking, He told them that one sign that you shall be given, it is a sign of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. So shall the Son of Man be in the tomb. And on the third day, lo and behold, the word of God came to reality. Hallelujah. We thank God because their hopelessness was turned around by these few words. He is risen. When they were walking towards the tomb, it was the last thing they were expecting an empty tomb. The Bible says when they walked in, the first thing that they were wondering about was, who shall roll away the stone for us? Who shall remove the stone for us to have access to His dead body? And as they're walking through, the first thing happened, they saw the stone has been removed. I want you to realize this morning that the little miracle that you have experienced so far is an indication of a greater work that the Lord will do. Hallelujah. There they were, they saw the tombstone moved. And they were still expecting to see a dead body in there. I want you to look at what God has done, even if it's a little thing that God has done. That should be a genesis of a greater work in your life. Glory be to God. You need to be able to say, if God could enable me to pass my exam, surely the Lord will heal me of this sickness. Hallelujah. When they saw the tombstone moved, something should have shifted in their heart. But when you are in a hopeless situation, even the smallest of change you won't recognize. You won't see it because you've been stuck in a place of hopelessness maybe for too long. These ladies were still expecting a dead body. But when they walked into the tomb, they saw a young man seated where Jesus was lying and saying, I know you're looking for the one who died, but He has risen. He is not here. Glory be to God. I want you to realize this morning that at that moment, their hopeless situation was turned around because He is risen. Glory be to God. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about renewed hope. Renewed hope. I need renewed hope in my life. And this morning, I want you to know that the death of Jesus had killed everyone's dreams and aspirations. His disciples had built their lives and their future around Jesus. That is their hope that they had. They were looking forward to a new kingdom, a kingdom that would conquer Rome and bring them political freedom. They were hoping that Jesus had come to redeem them from the brutality of Rome. All that came to a crushing stop when Jesus died. Can you imagine having put your hope on somebody? They promised you heaven and earth, and your life seems to be turning a new leaf because this guy has promised you a new job. This guy has promised you a new car. This guy has promised you a wife. This guy has promised you so many things. And then suddenly, that guy dies. Suddenly, all those promises are dead. What has died in your life right now? What hopes have been dashed away recently? And I want you to realize that a person without hope cannot be helped. That type of a person cannot fight another day. Have you been there where you've lost all hope and you cannot see anything good coming out of the situation? Do you know that a sick person that has lost hope have got lower chances of getting healed? That is why when you have somebody who is sick, you keep on telling them, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. And on the other side, somebody that is so hopeful, no matter how bad their health is, you see them bouncing back. Why? There is something that happens in the life of somebody that has hope in their heart. That is why we need to encourage ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to give up. It's not time to give up. Now, this morning, I want to say to you, had Jesus not risen from the dead, we would have been a hopeless case today. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, you and I would have been a hopeless case. We would have been without hope. Would have been greatly pitied by everybody else. Can you imagine telling everybody that my life is about to change? My life is about to change. And all of a sudden, people don't see change in your life. Why? Because the guy who had promised did not come through. You're so much looking forward to tomorrow, and the guy says, sorry, I cannot come. That would have been our case had Jesus not risen from the dead. At some point in the church of Corinth, there was a heresy and a false teaching that had risen up. And people were saying, there is no resurrection. And the church of Corinth was being infiltrated and being affected by this teaching. And they were losing hope. And the Apostle Paul had to come and address the church. And this is what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. He says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is foolish. Saints, without the resurrection, your faith is simply presumption. Does somebody hear me this morning? Without the resurrection, your faith is futile. And it says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is foolish. You are yet in your sins. Then also those that fell asleep in Christ were lost. If in this life, only if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if Christ had not risen, we would be the most miserable of people. But now, Christ has risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruit of those who slept. I want you to realize this morning that the resurrection is what made a way for you and me, without which we would have been destined for God's wrath, for God's anger. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. You see, everyone dies. Muhammad died. All these other religious leaders died. The distinction between them and our Lord is that our Lord is alive. Glory be to God. That is why we are seated in this place. That is why some people are prepared to die for their faith, because they know that our Lord is alive. Glory be to God. That is why he is called the first fruit of those who are sleeping. Lazarus was raised from the dead. But Lazarus went on to die again. Hallelujah. The daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead, but she went on to die again. The son of that mother in the city of Nain, he rose from the dead, but he went on to die again. But as for Jesus, glory be to God, he died, but on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. Glory be to God. The issue is not whether he died or not. The issue is he rose on the third day. Glory be to God. Everybody else dies. But there's only one that remains alive today. I was telling somebody and I say to him, you know what? Christianity has to be based on facts, not on just presumption. It's not a fairy tale. It is known historically that there is a man who rose on the third day and his bones are not in the tomb. He is alive. Glory be to God. And I want you to realize that the resurrection opened a doorway to eternal life. A life that will be spent in the presence of our God and our Father. Through Jesus, we have the hope to live in victory today and to live in glory in the afterlife. This is the hope that we have, saints. And that hope can only be accessed by opening your heart to Jesus. It's okay to know that there's food in the fridge. And unless you go to the fridge and you eat the food, you'll be hungry. And this morning I want you to know, it's okay to know that there's hope through Jesus. But if you don't open up your heart to Jesus, your life remains hopeless. You know what? I've come to realize that life without Jesus is the most miserable and hopeless of lives. I want you to know that many people think they are okay. No. In the absence of Jesus in your life is not okay. I know a lot of good non-believers. But that is the point. They are just good non-believers. There is another dimension of life that Jesus made a way for us. It is a way of life to God. Hallelujah. You know, I have faced a lot of hopeless and miserable situations in my life. But I was able to come out of them, not because I'm strong mentally, not because I'm strong emotionally. It is because I belong to the one who rose on the third day. The one who said, "It is finished," is still saying that today in my life, in your life. He's able to come and say, "The trouble you're going through, I died for it on the cross. The pain you're going through, I died for it on the cross." Hallelujah. And therefore, in the absence of the one who conquered death, our lives will continue being miserable. You go in and out of trouble. And this morning, your life can change if you open up your heart to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I still remember the day I opened up my heart to Jesus. It was in March in 1993. Many of you here were not born. But I still remember and making a vow and say, "God, you better be my Father in my life. And I want to make a proposition to you. Who has been your go-to person in times of trouble? Who has been your go-to person in times of hopelessness? Do you know why people get drunk? It's because they try to drown the sorrows. They're trying to just forget the pain for a moment. Oh yes, for a moment you can forget, but when you become sober, the problem is still there and probably even worse because you'd have messed up even more when you were drunk. But there is a way out. Glory be to God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter talks about a living hope. This speaks of something that is alive, something that is vibrant, something that is full of expectations. Do you know that when you have the resurrection life inside of you, you can face tomorrow without fears? The reason why we are afraid of making New Year's resolutions, it is because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But he says he knows tomorrow. When you are in Jesus, you can face tomorrow. Glory be to God. You see, the hope we get from the resurrection of Christ makes us expectant about tomorrow. The hope that we get from the resurrection makes us to look forward to another day. Hallelujah. The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he died on the cross, he faced the greatest enemy. And the greatest enemy is called death. I was saying to somebody, I said to him, what is the worst thing that can happen to anybody? It is death. But Jesus overcame death. Glory be to God. I want you to realize this morning, that is our hope. And that is our hope that will enable us to live into tomorrow. Now the question is, how does a person with a renewed hope live? How does a person with a renewed hope live? Remember, I mentioned to you that a person that has hope, though their body is waning, they still tell you, I'm going to be here to see my kids getting married. I'm going to be here to see you doing this and this. This person talks different because of hope. This person has got expectations for tomorrow because of hope. Hallelujah. So how does a person with a renewed hope live their lives? This person conducts himself completely different from a person who has given up. And I want you to know, because you have received Jesus in your life, you should live your life differently. You should not talk like somebody who does not know Jesus. You see, when the Bible says, after somebody has died, you who are believers, and this person died and they were in the Lord, we do not cry like those without hope. What does it mean? It means that though we are separated now, but in the end, we shall be reunited. In the end, I shall meet you with the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the hope that we have. So if somebody dies outside of Jesus, we can write rest in peace. We can say, don't cry as if you don't know. There is no more hope. Why? Because they've died without the Lord. It is so important. That is our hope. We don't cry like those without hope. And this brings comfort to those of us who have lost loved ones. That is why we must be about our Father's business, to ensure that those who don't know Jesus would come to the knowledge of Jesus. Now, the big picture about renewed hope is being aware that there is life after death. Saints, we cannot live as if after we are dead, that's the end of it. No, there is life after death. It's a matter of where are you going to spend your life after death. Now, a person living with renewed hope looks at life with a perspective of eternity. I want you to take note of that. A person with renewed hope lives their life with a perspective of eternity. So I'm not just living for today. I am living thinking of eternity, thinking of the afterlife. Glory be to God. And that is what people do, those who are full of hope. Because we know, I'm not just living anyhow. There is a purpose to my life. I want to share with you just a number of points around how a person with renewed hope should live like. Let's get into it. Number one, a person with renewed hope lives to fight another day. And I've mentioned this already. A person with renewed hope, they will live to fight another day. What do I mean by this? We don't give up in the face of adversity. You know, I want you to realize that in this world, we shall have trouble. In this world, we shall experience difficulties. But because Jesus is alive, we don't give up. Because Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, praying for us, we don't give up. You know, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you become immune of problems. In fact, I've seen the more you walk with Jesus, the greater the challenges you're going to face. Why? Because you are now in the enemy tent. You are now in the enemy camp where the devil looks at you like, oh, you're a threat. So I'm going to cause chaos in your life so that you give up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. The Bible says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Saints, this is so important. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Saints, your confidence will be greatly rewarded. When you say, I know who I am, I know in whom I have believed, though there's trouble in my life, but I'm not going to give up. For you have need of patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who shall come and will not delay. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if he draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those withdrawing to destruction, but of those who believe to the preserving of the soul. What battles are you facing? The reason why we give up is because we know there's no help coming. But the Bible says, for we know the one who promised to come will come. Not only will he come to take us to heaven, but he will come to rescue us. You know, I want you to understand something, that when Jesus rose on the third day, he overcame battles on your behalf. And when you understand that you are not alone, you know it's a matter of time before victory comes your way. We do not give up. We do not throw off our confidence because the battle has been won. That is why the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is not yours. Now, if you don't have the Lord, oh yes, for sure, the battle is yours. Oh yes, it's important for us to understand. The Bible says, cast your burdens unto the Lord. Why? For he cares for you. Now, if you are not walking with the Lord, to whom are you casting your burdens? Man cannot be relied on. Man is like a broken reed. You try and put weight on man, they are there today, but tomorrow they are not. But as for Jesus, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. When God was talking to Joshua, as he was about to enter the promised land, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is why we don't give up. Why? Because the one who watches over us does not sleep, does not slumber. Who are you walking with today? Our hope is in the resurrected King of Glory. You know, when Jesus rose on the third day, the Bible says he went and he sat on the right-hand side of God. And what is he doing? He is praying for you. He is praying for me. That is why sometimes I might not be able to pray strong prayers. I know there is the mediator that is praying on my behalf, because I belong to him. Glory be to God. He prays for the church. He prays for you. You know, life can be very impossible. And the devil tries to make us think we are sufficient by ourselves. The devil will tell you, you don't need Jesus. Jesus is like a crutch for those who are crippled. The moment you want Jesus means you are weak. But the Bible tells us, he did not come for the strong. He did not come for the healthy. He came for the weak. He came for the sick. And it says, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. As long as you profess to be strong, you don't qualify to get help from Jesus. Why do you need him if you are strong? So, because of renewed hope, we live to fight another day. Because of renewed hope, we will wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Because the one who promised is faithful. Number two, how do people live with renewed hope? A person with renewed hope avoids destruction. You know, I want you to realize that, you know, I'm talking to you because you are a believer. You are born again. You are fighting a different type of battle. You are no longer fighting for life after death or to be with God. That is already dealt with if you are a believer. We are now fighting a different battle. For every Christian, you are fighting a different battle. Now, if you know that you are a child of God, I want you to realize that the devil wants to mess up with the quality of your relationship with God. If he could not stop Jesus coming into your heart, he would try and make your relationship with Jesus an ordinary relationship. And when you have an ordinary relationship with Jesus, you will not be able to receive as much as you would if your relationship is solid. Just like any household, if you have a child that is naughty, you find that you do the bare minimum. You provide food, you provide school fees, but there are some things that you will not just do. Why? Because your heart is not very happy about this child. Come on now. Am I talking to some parents here? But if you have a child that listens, that obeys, that is helpful, you'll go out of your way to bless that child. And we got a Father in heaven. Now, a person with renewed hope avoids destruction. Yes, the Lord has made a way for us into victory and into eternity, but we must avoid destruction. We must avoid sideshows that will cause us to lose track in our walk with the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Therefore, endure hardness. Other version says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one who wars tangles with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who chose him to be a soldier. And also, if anyone competes, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully. Saints, when you gave your life to Jesus, you were enrolled into the army of the living God with Jesus as the great captain. Just like in any warfare, you will face hardships and afflictions as you serve at your post. I want you to realize that there is a way that God has called us to live our lives. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men might glorify your Father in heaven. You know, people should be able to see a difference in my life at work. The way that I talk. People should be able to say, there's something different about this person. They might not know that you're a Christian, but the way you speak says volumes about the life of Jesus inside of you. You know, I was watching this Chasing the Sun 2. Okay? Chasing the Sun 2. It's a nice documentary. But the profanity of language in that documentary is atrocious. It's like, and there are guys in there that pray before a match and that pray after a match, but the language is just crude. My question to you this morning is your life a testimony of Jesus? Is your life a testimony of Jesus that lives inside of you? Can people vouch for you and say, what you are saying about him, it's not true, because we know him. When there's a bad report, being given about you. Can your work colleagues say, no, he is not that type of a person? Or they will say, yeah, there are chances that he did that. There are chances that she did that because I have seen her. I have seen her doing certain things. Let your light so shine so that those who are around you might glorify God. So here Paul is exhorting Timothy, and by extension, he's exhorting us to get rid of distractions. You see, when you face persecutions of all sorts, you have need to endure them as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, many things will call for your attention. Many other vocations will look better than serving Jesus. You know, the devil will make you think it's more important to do this. On a Sunday morning, I should be resting. It's a rest moment. Look, I've been working the whole Sunday. But as a child of God, the Bible says, do not neglect the meeting of brothers. You see, as you are serving God, you'll be tempted to cut corners. But Christ has set an example. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he looked down upon the pain and the shame of the cross. Hallelujah. You see, an athlete dresses down to the bare minimum in order to reduce weight and drag. And that is to ensure that he runs as fast and as efficient as possible. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The writer of Hebrews distinguishes what he calls weight and sin. So there are some things in our lives that are not necessarily sinful, but they are weights. They slow us down. And therefore, Hebrews is saying, lay aside the weight that trips you when you're running and the sin that easily entangles you. And I want you to look into your life today. Whatever is going on, it might not be sinful, but it is a distraction. It might not be something that you need to say, Lord, please forgive me, but it makes you less efficient in your service unto God. What are those weights in your life? What are those habits in your life? Maybe it's watching Netflix all the way to 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But what it does, it makes you feel tired when you come to church on a Sunday morning. It makes you less engaged in worship. That is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Lay aside every weight. Maybe there are certain types of friends who influence you not to be at home on time. Maybe there are certain type of friends who don't encourage you to spend time with your kids. It's not sinful, but it's a weight. And I want you to know that when a weight lives long enough in your life, it will translate into a sin at some point. Lay aside every weight. Maybe as a gentleman, you are used to be so comfortable with ladies. You put your arm around them. You are very cozy with them. You know, it's like, you know, you put your hands where they shouldn't go. You know what I mean? You're just comfortable with the girls. And not realizing that this thing is going to graduate at some point. And the writer is saying, lay aside every weight. Maybe you're used not to be telling the full truth. It's half a truth. But it's still not a full truth. Lay aside every weight. Glory be to God. Number three. A person with renewed hope prepares for tomorrow. The only reason why you prepare for tomorrow, it is because you know there is a tomorrow. The reason why we've got provident fund, retirement annuities, investments, it is because we are hoping to outlive our paid job. So that when I retire one day, I'm able to draw down from my retirement annuity. You have hope. And therefore, there is something that a hopeful person does that another hopeless person does not do. A hopeless person lives for today. He doesn't care about tomorrow. And here I want you to know that because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope for tomorrow, and therefore we prepare for it. You see, a person with renewed hope knows that what he is doing today will define tomorrow. The short life you have determines the type of reward you will get in the afterlife. Saints, for you believers, we are no longer fighting for going to heaven. That's a done deal. We are now fighting about the reward. I want you to think about how painful it is when you don't hit a certain mark, when you don't get a certain award at school. Back in the days, for those of you who are students, it's painful when you miss out on an award. It's in the natural. How much more in the spirit when we get to heaven? You see, one of the things that Jesus told John the Revelator was that he was coming back. Jesus is coming back, saying, let's not live as if he is not coming back. We might believe it, we might not, but he is coming back. And the question is, when he comes, are we ready for him? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. The Bible says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to each according as his work is. I am coming back, says the Lord, with a reward in my hands, to give to each according as his work is. Now, you need to realize this morning that the Lord is busy weighing our works. Right now, he's looking at this preaching. One day, he's going to come back to me and say, you said things I did not want you to say. So I don't live my life as if there won't be a moment of accountability. And saying this is a sobering thought, because what you do now matters a lot in shaping your eternity. Every well-meaning child of God must live in the light of eternity, because you shall give account for the way you lived your life here on earth. Eternity, nobody can measure eternity, but you can measure your life. You can live for 70 years, 80, 90, 100, and that short life will determine eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let every man be careful how he builds on it. For any other foundation can no one lay than the one being laid, who is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. And if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work shall be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try each one's work as to what kind it is. If anyone's work which he built remains, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burnt up, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Saints, there's a Father in heaven who is busy looking at our works. Because of the resurrection, there's no room for recklessness, because each one of us shall give account. Each of you are busy building on top of the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, when we serve God at our convenience, it is like building with hay, and the fire shall reveal it. When you serve God grudgingly, it is like building with wood, and the fire shall reveal it. But when you serve God sacrificially, with a willing heart, it will be like building with gold and silver, and the fire shall reveal it. The question is, how are you building? The Bible says, each man shall give account for every idle word that you have spoken. And this morning we need to go home and ask ourselves, am I able to give account for this behavior? The way I have treated my wife, the way I'm treating my husband, am I able to give account to the Lord? The way I'm treating my children, am I able to give account to the Lord? Some shall enter heaven, but through fire. Our works shall be lost, and there will be no reward. The last point is, a person with renewed hope is purposeful. You see, the hope we have compels us to be purposeful in what we do. In other words, you must ask yourself this question before you do anything: what does this have to do with eternity? Whatever you're doing, whatever project you're doing, what does this have to do with eternity? Does it bring value to eternity? Does it enable me to stand before the Father and the Father says, well done, good and faithful servant? Eternity matters. Will he be able to say, I was hungry and you fed me? Will he be able to say, I was in prison and you visited me? So when you ask yourself, what does this have to do with eternity? It will make you the most productive of people amongst your friends. Because you will not waste your time on things that do not add value to eternity. Does somebody hear me this morning? What does this have to do with eternity? Now, Jesus was serious about purpose. And this is reflected in his last command that he gave before the 500 disciples in that mountain. Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Saints, Jesus would have said, go make lots of money. You see, he's saying, what matters is the souls of people. What matters is the life sitting next to you. What matters is the life that you go to work with. And the Lord is saying, his soul matters to me. That is why I died and I rose on the third day. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What's your purpose? And I want you to know that your purpose has to do with people. If your purpose has to do with animals, you've got to question that. Because by and large, we've been called to reach people for Jesus. The renewed hope must make us jealous about who you spend your time with. Your time must be spent on things that have an impact on eternity. If it's a hobby, you must make sure that through that hobby, the Lord uses you to transform somebody. People must say, man, we used to run with this guy, and ever since we started running with him, our lives have changed. It mustn't be, oh, it is so fun, man. We go boozing with this guy, man. He's like, no. They must say, as long as this guy is in our group, something is different. Because he's driven by eternity. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Paul was challenging Timothy not to lose focus in the midst of people turning away from sound teaching. He says, but you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fully carry out your ministry. What's your ministry? Fully carry out your ministry. Each one of us here have a purpose. You are not a mistake. You are never an oops. It was God who determined and made it possible for you to be alive today. you must ask yourself, why am I here on earth? Because if you don't, you'll keep on chasing other things that have nothing to do with eternity. And so we are dealing with two battles today. The first one is, do you know Jesus? Your hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place without opening your heart to Him. Because when your heart is open to Him, you can have hope for eternity. Maybe you know Jesus, but you haven't been purposeful. Maybe you haven't paid attention. There's been a lot of distractions in your life. I want you to pray to the Lord this morning. Seated as you are right now, I want you to think about your life. Do you have renewed hope in your heart? I want you to just contemplate about your future. Don't worry about what you have left at home. Don't worry about what people say. It's between you and God right now. Do you know Him as your Lord and personal Savior? Maybe you're tired of fighting your own battles. He says, I can fight them for you. For the battle belongs to Him. He loves you so much.